3 years ago, Vice President Dick Cheney sought advice from private citizens for his Energy Task Force. The administration declined to release the names of those who helped craft the policy when asked. Those outside the administration cried foul. Tomorrow, the Supreme Court hears arguments from each side. If you have questions about this case, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address, totn@npr.org. Joining us here in Studio 3A is NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. And always good to have you here, Ron.
Good to see you, Neil.
And remind us, this was right after the election. The administration was crafting its energy policy.
That's right. One of their top priorities for domestic policy was a comprehensive remake of all of our energy policy, the first really since the 70s.
And do we know in general who was asked to come in and advise the White House on this issue?
I don't think there's much question that the preponderance of people who were asked to really participate were people from the industry, people who had practical experience with finding energy, producing energy, marketing energy, as opposed to people who were somewhat more academic or somewhat more environmental, although those views were also solicited.
Now, the president and the vice president both had backgrounds working in industries, the oil business.
They were oil men.
Yeah, and as you say, there was a suggestion that maybe the environmental groups were not exactly invited into the inner sanctum in this conclave.
Well, they were not shut out entirely, but I think they certainly felt, and I think it's fair to say, they were not given the same audience that some of these other voices were given. But to some degree, that's a question we can't really answer, in part because the information that's being sought in this suit has never been produced. One of the questions people have been trying to get at is exactly what did people from the energy industry have to say about the policy? That's part and parcel of what we're trying to learn, if you will.
So when the Supreme Court gathers tomorrow, what's the legal issue that we're going to be hearing arguments about?
Well, unfortunately, as is often the case, there is a procedural technicality, if you will, that's going to take up a lot of the time. In this case, it's whether or not the administration jumped the gun by going to an appeals court and trying to get a writ of dismissal against the efforts being made to disclose the names and contributions of some of these participants in the task force. When the administration did not get the result they initially wanted in the courts, they tried to go up a level and get a writ of dismissal because they did not want to have to assert executive privilege to deal with an adverse court order. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're going to hear a lot of language of that kind when we hear the court's oral arguments actually presented on the radio tomorrow, as we're going to get in one of these extraordinary cases, the actual tape of the court questioning the attorneys for both sides.
And we'll get back to that in a couple of minutes, but this then all has to be decided before you get to the meat of the question, like does the administration have to produce these names?
That's right. The administration is ultimately arguing that the Federal Advisory Committee Act, which goes all the way back to the Nixon era, 1972, is unconstitutional if it's applied in such a way as to force them to disclose what internal documents are produced or internal participation goes on in a legally constituted federal advisory committee. Now, the way they're interpreting this task force, this federal task force, is that the people who took part in it were all federal government employees, and nobody was a member of the task force who was not a government employee. Therefore, it's not subject to the disclosure that's being sought by the outside groups such as the Sierra Club and the Judicial Watch group that have sued to get access to this information.
We're talking about tomorrow's Supreme Court case involving Vice President Cheney with NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And a lot of people would say this is reminiscent of a case in the previous administration involving Hillary Rodham Clinton and secret talks about her health care task force. How are the two cases different, if they are?
Well, there are considerable parallels. In that case, Hillary Rodham Clinton, the president's wife at that time, was tasked with bringing together government employees and a great number of people from outside to act as a task force. And what the courts decided in that particular case, a federal appeals court decided, that while the White House did not have to release information about Hillary or about the government employees and officials who were taking part in it, it did have to release information about outsiders, people who were not government employees who participated in the process, people from the healthcare industry, people from various and sundry walks of life who were not government employees but were part of the task force.
Let's get a caller on the line. This is Walt, who's with us from San Jose, California.
Yeah, hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. You know, I've been rather mystified by the whole idea behind this process. It seems to me that regardless of who the administration consulted with, once the administration developed a policy, then it's the policy issue.
Walt's cell phone seems to be cutting in and out, but the policy I think he's suggesting is more important than necessarily the people he met with. Why are these names so important?
I think the names are important for two reasons, to those, of course, who are trying to get them. The names are important because cui bono, to what good, is the great Latin question. When you make a policy, when you make a decision, to whose benefit are you trying to make that policy effective? And in this particular case, it's been alleged by the people who are bringing these lawsuits that in some way or another there was excessive influence being brought to bear by people who stood to benefit from it, and we should at least know who they were and exactly what they had to say in order to judge the policy. Now, of course, the president did come forth with an energy policy subsequent to this task force, and it went into the Congress where it has been subjected to a absolutely classic case of meat grinding, and much has gone on, and there have been many controversies, and the bill has never become law, at least not to date. We've got a House bill and a Senate bill. They've never been reconciled. And to some degree, you could argue some of the things that have kept the bill from becoming law may have been the result of this task force, people would like to know.
And one of the names that always comes up when people ask about that is Ken Lay, then the president of Enron, or CEO.
That's right. And it's not entirely clear, you know, whether or not this is all about Enron or all about Ken Lay. I would suggest that probably it's not. But there were some documents released by the White House early on before they closed down entirely on this subject and went to court that were essentially released to show that this was not a huge involvement by Enron or Ken Lay.
Let's get another caller. Gerald's with us from Saginaw, Michigan.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering at this point if Justice Scalia may still recuse himself after his four-day duck hunting trip with Dick Cheney, and I'm wondering what what the person has to say about it.
That's Ron Elving, our person. Go ahead, Ron.
Thank you. Sorry.
Well, it would seem unlikely that at this juncture Justice Scalia would choose to reverse himself and recuse himself. He's been friends with Dick Cheney for a long time. They've been on that particular infamous duck hunting trip, and also they've been out hunting other birds together. This is not a relationship that began by any means with this administration or with this particular dispute, and so Justice Scalia sees no reason, since it's all, you know, if you will, disclosed and above board, for him to have to recuse himself. Others disagree. Other legal scholars think he should, that the relationship is too close and that this is too much a personal matter about the prerogatives of Dick Cheney, and therefore he should. But I don't think that we see any indication that he's going to change his mind.
And quickly, Ron, beginning with the case of Bush v. Gore, the Supreme Court started releasing same-day audio tapes of some of its deliberations. We're going to get two this week. What's going on here?
I think the court is drawing back the veil a certain amount in order to bring the public to a greater appreciation for the nature of their deliberations. I think they understand the dignity and mystery that they benefited from, but I think they also think they need to be a little bit more public and gain a little bit more credibility and trust.
Still don't cooperate with those people who broadcast with pictures, though, do they?
No, they're still not quite friendly with the camera.
Ron Elving is NPR's senior Washington editor. He was with us here in Studio 3A. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.